You're listening to a podcast from Victory. God values family, and so should we. Know how God calls us to valuing our families in week 5 of our series, Radical.
Hebrews 11, verse 7, and it says, I'm using ESV, English Standard Version, and we've been, this is my first time to use this. I've been using NIV. You know what NIV stands for, right? Necessary in victory, right? ESV is essential sa victory. Yeah, just in case you didn't know. All right. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. Say, for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. This is the word of the Lord for us today. Let us pray. Oh, Father God, thank you for this morning. Lord, as you have, allowed us to gather together and celebrate 30 years of your faithfulness here in this movement. And Lord, I just pray that we will continue, Lord, to embrace these core values that you have given us as corporately, as a church, that we may be able to propagate this and impart this DNA to the next generation of Victory people in the future. And so, Lord, I thank you for, Lord, the opportunity to continue to magnify you as our Lord, the opportunity to preach the gospel, Lord, in evangelism, the opportunity to make disciples, Lord, and raise up leaders. And now, Lord, we lift up to you our families. Lord, you said in your word, if we believe in you, we will be saved. And we're so excited about that, Lord. And yet you said, together with your household. So, Lord, today we pray for the spirit of faith to rise up within us, just as you have put this faith, Lord, in Noah's heart, Lord, when his family was saved as well. We give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody, a big, big amen and amen. All right, go ahead and take your seats. As you're taking your seats, just to let you know, this is, we're not talking today about spiritual family, though we love talking about our spiritual family, but one of our core values is family, our biological family. How many of you here this morning are married and you have children? Would you please raise your hands? Okay. Some of you are married and believing God for children. Raise your hands. All right. Woo! There's some of you excited, looking forward to see your children running around in our kids' ministry. Who among you here are engaged? Raise your hands. Engaged. All right. Congratulations. Congratulations. All right. Excited for you. Who among you here are single and excited? Some of you are student and single. Raise your hands. Come on. All right. Woo-hoo. All right. Welcome. This message is for you too. And to be honest with you, Pastor Steve had his own journey in understanding the importance of a family in a movement. In fact, when he came and saw the larger churches around way back in the 80s, he has taken the time, he made it a point to interview the top, the pastors of large churches during that time. In fact, he invited me in one of the services. I was a young believer. We went to this church with no chairs. You just remain standing all throughout the service. And I attended a church and we were, you know, and the ushers during offering, there are no aisles, you know, they just go around with a basket, you know, and go around and collect the tithes and offerings. And I was amazed of the crowds. And he brought me in that church just to see and have a vision of the multitudes, that it's possible to have a church and have large numbers of people coming in. Because we're just small during the time, around 100, 150 during that time. And so he made it a point as a missionary, as a learner, to get pointers from this pastor of large churches, and he has interviewed some, and one of the pastors that he sat down with and asked and says, "I have made an appointment. Just I'd like to know your secret. Why your church is so much people in your church and you're growing. I'd like to learn from you." Then the pastor says, "Well, you know, I have experienced growth and success in ministry, but would you be willing to pay the price?" And he said, "In the middle of all this, I lost my sons. My sons are not serving the Lord, but would you be willing to pay the price?" And when he said that, he was taken aback and took note of that experience. And then he thought it might have been just a problem in this certain church. But one time he went to Korea and visited the pastor, the largest, if not the largest church in Korea, if not during that time, of the world, the evangelical world. I'm talking about Pastor Yonggi Cho. And I think I can mention that because he mentioned that in the pastor's meeting. They had a conference way back during that time, and Pastor was just one of the delegates. And he made mention about his family, and he was telling the pastors that he talked to his son, and his son mentioned to him, Yonggi Cho, that the son couldn't remember any memorable events with the family. In other words, he was saying that I'm a failure as a father. Now that joining the conference, it's almost like the pastor was opening his heart to the pastors. Pastor Steve, right after that seminar, went back to his hotel room and got down on his knees and cried out before God for his grace. "Lord, I don't want to be successful in ministry and yet in expense of my family or my children." We call these types of people successful failures. Does it sound oxymoronic? Successful failures. Successful in careers. Successful in their calling. But failures at home. I'm not talking about righteous and wicked people. I'm talking about righteous people can also experience failures at home. In fact, it is not just the reality of what's happening out there, but even in the scriptures. We see an example of Noah, we're going to talk more about him, but he has been preaching and been a witness, a preacher of righteousness, for 120 years to his community. Nobody even responded to his message, and there's not much that respect from the outside. But when the Lord asked him and his household to come, 8 all in all went inside, entered inside the ark, and they were saved. On the other hand, we have another person who is so righteous. He's righteous. The scripture mentioned in 2 Peter the word righteous 3 times. His name is no other than Lot. He was righteous. In fact, his righteousness made him so burdened with the unrighteousness that he would notice and see in Sodom and Gomorrah. And he was well respected because the Bible says he was a leader, one of the leaders in the gate. When you say leaders in the gate, you're talking about like a senator or a congressman who is respected in the land. Now, we see a man who is so respected from the outside, but when it's time for him to leave Sodom and Gomorrah, his children would even mock him and did not even listen to him. In fact, when burning sulfur came and poured out upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and he was running with his 2 daughters and his wife. I think I discovered the name of the wife. I found out, you might not see it in any theological books and commentaries, but the wife of Lot is actually named Pilar. Yes, why? Because while she was running,
She remembered her family pictures. She remembered her menu, her, you know what they call that? You know? She remembered her projects, and then she looked back, and the Bible says she has become pillar of salt. Now, is that corny? I think it is. She has become pillar of salt. So, here's a person who is so respected amongst people outside, but least respected at home. While on this other side, we have Noah, who is not respected on the outside. Nobody listens, but well respected at home. Don't believe that movie about Noah that you watched recently. Who among you watched that movie, Noah? Come on, it's okay. Who among you weren't able to watch the movie? It's okay, you didn't miss anything. Might as well read your Bible. I didn't have any choice. I was going to the States. I was taking PAL. So may monitor sa harap mo. So no choice, di ba? So click mo na lang yung Noah. So I watched Noah. I was just inside of me. It's like, what is going on here? I took Genesis for one semester in a seminary. This guy is just being creative, all right? So creative that there's some extra things that he has added in the movie. But that's the picture of not just of what's happening around us, but even in the Bible, that it is possible to be successful and yet be failures as parents at home. If you're single or student today, or if you are still believing God for a baby, this message is for you too. Pastor Steve, right after that encounter with that well-known pastor in the Philippines and in Korea, made it a point, week in, week out, subconsciously, he would always use illustrations about his son, one of his sons, about his relationship with his wife, and he would always connect that in his sermon somewhere for more than 25 years. Because in his mind, he said, I might as well build a foundation in the hearts of these students, in the hearts, that they can become successful family people someday. That people won't sacrifice their families in the altar of success. And so it has become, because of that, it has become one of our core values. Radical since 1984. It's not just a talk. It's reality in our living rooms. And by faith and by the grace of God, we can experience success, not just on the outside, but by the grace of God, experience success at home. Are you here with me? Are you in faith today that we can be successful in both? And if you will be failures on this other side or not really necessarily succeeding on the other side, I would rather go back home in a place where I'm successful and respected and loved. No matter how successful you are on this side, but if there's no respect and love on this other side, that will be the most tormenting life that you can ever live. Now, there may be other things that you can experience, but it's going to be a tormenting experience. And yet, I hope this message will inspire us to believe that it is possible for our children and our loved ones to be lovers of God as well. And this is what this message is all about this morning. And as I mentioned that, you know, in the Bible, there's so much family transformations that has been happening. You know, the Bible is like more on like Asians. You know, unlike Westerners, they're very individualistic. You know, they focus more on the individual person. But in Asia, our culture is more community. Like here, we have community here in Green Hills. We have Chinatown in different nations of the world. Filipinos, I mean, we have fellowship. We meet here, we pray, and then we walk, we talk at the foyer, and then going to the parking, we're still talking. I mean, we're really an inclusive community. You're eating, somebody is passing by, a stranger, oh, kain po tayo. We ask people to come and join us. We're very community in our the way we carry ourselves. You know what? The Bible is the same way. In Acts chapter 6, there was a story of chapter 11. There was a story of Cornelius and his entire household, who had believed, who's been believing God for someone to come and share the gospel to them. The Lord started working in the heart of Peter, and the Lord showed up in his vision, and he obeyed and went to the household of Cornelius. And the Bible says the entire household came to know the Lord. Chapter 16, Peter met with this young lady, a successful businesswoman who is into business of purple linen. In our translation today, it's like the owner of Giorgio Armani fashion outfit or something. And why? Because she was a seller of purple linen. During that time, only the royalties and the rich people are the ones wearing purple. And so you could imagine her international business. Well-known, very successful business person. And yet, the Bible says when she has come to know the Lord, she has come to know the Lord with her entire household. In that same chapter, in chapter 16, there was a miracle that had happened in the jail. And the Lord has set free miraculously the apostles, and because of that, the jailer declared, "How shall I be saved?" Because he knew he's going to be punished for it. And yet the apostle responded, "You will be saved, you and your household." And he spoke about the gospel, and the Bible says that the jailer came to know Christ, and the entire family got baptized. Now, was there a baby there that got baptized too? We don't know. Theologians are debating. That's why some of the theologians are justifying baby baptism. But the point is the entire household. Say entire household. And that is the picture in the Bible. And Satan is against that. He's against family salvation. But we see in this passage a classic picture of family salvation. Literally, the rest perished except the family of eight. A classic example and a picture of family salvation right there at the early times of human history. The flood is a well-accepted event in human history. Any geologists, any anthropologists or archaeologists would attest to the great deluge that had happened in human history. But I believe that there's really that the flood really happened because Jesus said so. In Matthew chapter 24, he mentioned about the kind of people during that time where they were eating and drinking and giving in marriage. He was giving a picture of apathy. And Jesus mentioned about the flood. Peter mentioned about the flood as well in one of his letters in 2 Peter about the flood. And even the author of Hebrews, we don't really know who has written the book of Hebrews. One thing is for sure, I realize that God drinks coffee because he brews. But anyways, is there still a debate who wrote the book of Hebrews? But that author, he believed the flood because he mentioned it in verse 7 of chapter 11 of Hebrews, which we have read today. What an amazing picture. And out of this, I believe that as we look at the life of Noah, we'll be able to have the faith in our hearts as well and believe that, Lord, I know you want me. It's your plan for me to become successful. But Lord, also we ask that we become successful on this side. Some of you here are struggling on this side. Some of you probably have loved ones who are struggling with addiction. Some of you have kids who have run away from the Lord. Some of you are going through a season of valleys in your family life. But I want you to know that this message, I believe, will encourage you as well to believe that God can see you through. He can come through and He hears the cries of your heart. Are you here today? Now, as we jump into this passage, what are the elements that helped Noah, that resulted to the salvation of his family? What are the elements that we can see from Hebrews 11, verse 7? First is the Word of God. The Word of God. And why the Word of God? Because the Bible says in that passage, by faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, being warned by God. The Lord spoke in Genesis chapter 6, when the Lord spoke and mentioned that then the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. And then in verse 13, and God said to Noah, so the Lord warned Noah about the upcoming deluge and says, I have determined to make the end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence. Say violence. Not only that the world was filled with apathy, as what Jesus described in Matthew 24, but the world was also filled with apostasy, and the world was filled with violence. And so, behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And so in verse 14, make an ark. So he was instructed to make an ark after giving that warning. I believe the Lord has given us an instrument as part of us become successful in raising our families. And that is the Word of God. The Word of God. Make it a priority in your life. If you're a man here today, make the Word of God a priority in your life. You won't become a successful leader in your home if the Word of God is not a priority in your life. And I thank God that we're able to inculcate that in the hearts of our young people, the love for the Word. And when we have that, then we can hear from the Lord and see His heart and see His heart for the next generation. So therefore, we too can have the shepherd's heart and a father's heart in raising our children. The Word of God, it is very crucial as men and women for us to prioritize the Word of God. Second, in that part of the passage in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, and it says, in reverent fear, constructed an ark. In reverent fear, constructed an ark. The elements in we need to have as a generation today who will be raising the next generation, we have to have the Word of God. Number two, the fear of the Lord. Say the fear of the Lord. Theologians can go through and debate about the meaning of the fear of the Lord. It's a divine dread. However you might want to explain the fear of the Lord, the book of Proverbs would always connect the fear of the Lord with wisdom. Say wisdom. So you really want to know whether you have the fear of the Lord or not? Wisdom. But I believe in this passage we see that in reverent fear, he constructed an ark. In other words, the real sign of the fear of the Lord in a person is a life of obedience. Say a life of obedience. Life of obedience. Imagine constructing something that have never seen before. They've never seen a huge boat before. And God told them, make a boat. Make an ark. And he constructed this ark in the middle of nowhere for 120 years. Everybody's watching and wondering, what kind of structure this is? It doesn't make sense. And he obeyed the Lord anyway and constructed out of reverent fear, constructed and obeyed the Lord. What a life of obedience as far as Noah is concerned. We're talking about 120 years of obedience. I mean, his life of obedience is even longer than the lifespan of some of the people during that time. and yet is expressed by faith, building something that doesn't make sense in the minds of the people outside. I mean, you know, sometimes you do something for God, you become an oddball in your community. How many among you here, you know, everyone's staying late at work up to 10 o'clock in the evening, and yet here you are, you can't wait to go home and see your newborn baby. And you go home on time. You go to work on time, but you go home on time because you can't wait to see your children. And your colleagues are wondering, this guy is not going to be successful. This guy is weird. This guy, one time pastor, he wasn't a pastor then. His name is Dr. Joey Castro. I met him when he was a doctor in Pasig, one of the hospitals in Pasig. And, you know, we didn't have call centers then, BPOs then. But I would meet him from work. So every time I would meet him, you know, he's already gone through his shifts in the hospital 24 hours straight. And then he'll come and meet with me to do one-to-one. So you could imagine in Shangri-La, we would meet. And then we would do one-to-one. And he would sleep on me while I would do one-to-one with him. You know, if you have two people, it'd be okay. At least you can look at the other guy, you know, while the other guy is sleeping. But this time, it's just him and me, you know. I mean, it's like, but I can't blame him. He's a doctor. And yet, I went through one-to-one with him, finished it, became excited about his relationship with the Lord. And then he started small group in the hospital. He has a small group with doctors, small group with nurses, two small group with nurses, depending on the shift. And so he has three small groups. He came to me and said, Pastor, I got three small groups. I'm so excited about what God is doing in my hospital. I said, and he thought I'd be so happy for him. I was happy for him. And yet I paused, looked at him and says, how is Dr. Tess? How's Pancho? What about Poca? I was talking about his family. I said, what do you mean? I have three small groups. I understand, but the most important victory group you have right now is Dr. Tess, Pancho, and Poca. How are they doing so far? Then he became quiet. He became quiet. He knew what I'm after. It's not just success being a doctor, success being in ministry, but I'm talking about success at home. And he knew it. He knew that I love him, not because he's a doctor, not because he's a successful minister, but I love him because I care for his family. And I think the same way with us. We can be so caught up with ministry. I would debate. This is one of our fights with my daughter. You know, I have a family, by the way. I'm married. Can I put the picture? This is my family, taken last December. And this is, okay, that's me. Last December, the person wearing red in the middle is not my daughter, okay? She's my wife. She's Judy. 23 years later, I'm still wondering why she married me. Really, why did this woman marry me? I mean, think of it. Why do you think a girl like that marry a guy like me? Maybe there's only one reason. I'm tall, dark, and darker. I think that's it. That's the only thing. And I have my daughter on the far right. She's Elizabeth. She's now 22 years old. I made a goal. I said, Judy, we're going to have a baby after a year. I mean, that's our decision. We're going to enjoy ourselves together 1 year after a year. After 4 months, she got pregnant. So anyway, that's Elizabeth. And she's now 22 years old, graduating student from the journalism in University of the Philippines, Diliman. And I'm just so encouraged by her. And I think one of the confidence I have in preaching today is what motivated me to come and really be excited today to preach about this topic is her blog last week. She had a blog. She wrote a blog last week, you can visit, entitled Take Charge. And she wrote around four or five reasons, things that she has learned from her dad. And I love it because she remembered
my first lesson when she was six. Because she came running to me one time and said, "Dad, Matthew, lift my skirt." I said, "Really? Where's Matthew? Come here, Elizabeth, come here." And being a dad, you know, I was a dad during that time, not a pastor, okay, a dad. So I looked at her and said, "Elizabeth, you don't allow any guy, any boy who's not your husband. You're going to have a husband someday. But you don't allow anybody to do that to you, mistreat you that way. In fact, this is what I want you to do. Next time there's a guy that who would disrespect you, I want you to fold your fingers like this. Okay? Aim at your target. Bring this from the back. Aim and give your best shot." Like that one. Okay, got it. And then she got it and said, "Okay, now you do it to me. No, let's practice. See this? I used to have a six-pack then." And said, "Let's try it." She was 6 years old. You can see it in the picture. So she did it several times and said, "Next time, you don't allow any guy to mistreat you and make sure that they give you due respect as a woman." And she wrote that, and I'm so glad. She has more, but it's just amazing. I'm sharing this to you just to let you know that me too go through this. As a human being, as a pastor, as a man, as a husband, I go through this. And also, that's my daughter, Elizabeth, and I have with me a son, 12 years and 12 days difference. He's now 10 years old. His name is John Philip. He was born with special needs, and he would always daily make our lives exciting in the house. See, he is dearly loved, John Philip. And that's my family sharing with you, just for you to know at least, that I go through what you guys are going through as well. It is not automatic. It is deliberate. We've got to have these elements working together. The Word of God, the fear of the Lord, obeying His Word. Fear of the Lord's expression is obedience. Train up a child in the way he should go, so that when he grows up, he will not depart from it. Will you become really successful if you do it? Maybe not. Maybe your children, in spite of all the things you've done, will still decide to do their own thing when they grow up. But nevertheless, it's still by the grace of God. That's why every day is in an intercession day for every parent. It's only by the grace of God, and we will move on to that next one. And so I encourage us to continue to be in faith for our children. Continue to uphold the Word of God, the fear of the Lord, obeying His Word, obeying and learning from one another here in this church. Our goal is for you to become successful, not just in your career, but successful at the home front. That's why we do couples retreat. We do singles retreat. We do parenting seminars. We just had one here the other week. Why? Because we're serious about raising the next generation. And so, the fear of the Lord. So he built the ark, started preaching and telling others about it. They did not listen, but he continued on out of the fear of the Lord. And then the next one, next part of the verse 7, chapter 11. And he says, "By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." I believe that the righteousness did not come upon Noah when he saved his family. No, he did not receive righteousness because he built the ark. He was righteous because God showed him his favor and his grace. Before he built the ark, the Lord has already provided the grace. Genesis chapter 6 verse 8 in King James Version. It says this. "But Noah," let's all read this together. Ready, go. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." That's the first use of the word grace in the Bible. In the Old Testament. Right there. The grace of God. Even even before it was mentioned afterward, you know, in the New Testament, it was mentioned right here, verse 8, chapter 6. The grace of God was upon him. Then he obeyed in chapter 7, verse 1. Let's all read chapter 7, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. I have seen that you are righteous. Is it because of his performance? No, it's because of verse 8, chapter 6. The Lord has showed him his grace. Sounds like Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. Say, through faith. Now it makes sense when we read verse 7 of chapter 11 of Hebrews, where it says that he became an heir of righteousness by faith. It is through faith, but by the grace of God. So the third element I'd like you to remember, not just the word of God, the fear of the Lord, but the grace of God, the favor of God in your life. Who among you here, you want the favor of God to be overflowing in your life today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The favor of God, his grace upon us, overflowing in everything that we do. It's not the, and the more as you humble yourself before God, the Bible says, I'll pour out so much grace upon you. And as you humble yourself, acknowledge your need of God, and he'll be there for you. This is amazing. We're going to watch a testimony here of Renee. And before we watch this video, just to let you know here, just give you a little picture of a priority here. I made my own decision. My wife and I agreed in this priority. And I just want to show this to you. Number one, top of my priority is my relationship with Christ. My relationship with Christ is number one. I read my Bible. My wife would read her Bible. When I see her read her Bible, I don't mind her. I don't, you know, I just let her commune with her Maker and with her Savior and Lord. And the same way with me. She knows that my number one is Jesus, my relationship with God. Number two is Judy. Judy is my number two. She knows that. And she's secure about that. She'll be insecure if she's number one and Jesus is number two. She's much secure knowing that she's second to Jesus. Number three is Elizabeth and John Philip. My children, they're number three. And they know that. Elizabeth is aware of that. And John Philip is trying to know that. But it's amazing how that's number three. Number four is my career, being a pastor. In the service I'm leading in Ortigas, they're aware that they are only number four in my lists. How many know if you have a pastor and you're number four in his lists, knowing that number one is Jesus, number two is wife, number three is children, how many know you want to be part of that church? You'll have a problem if your pastor's priority is you. You're going to have a problem. How many pastors today are successful because their number one is the people, not God? We're going to have a problem with that. And that's number four. And be encouraged by that. Number five is my ultra running. That's number five. Somewhere there, okay? My running. And my running buddies, they're aware of that. On our way to Clark one time, we woke up 2 o'clock in the morning because we're about to run long run in Clark. On our way, I took my iPad and clicked Ojo, my Bible app, and we'll listen to the Bible together, including the driver. Let's go listen to the Word on our way to doing our hobby. But that's the picture, at least from my end. And I saw Pastor Steve's notes. That's also his priority. And I know it's Pastor Dennis's priorities as well. I'd like right now to pause for a while, and I'd like us to watch this testimony that truly the gospel can work, not just outside, but even in our living rooms. Let's watch this.
Galing ako sa magulong pamilya, I cried out to God for help and asking Him to save me. someone invited me to our church in Every Nation Sharjah. God spoke to me there, and after a month, umuwi agad ako ng Pilipinas. And I finally surrendered my life to our Lord Jesus Christ during one of our services. Sa church, I heard testimonies of family salvation. Pero for me, it's impossible for my family. Kasi si Dad, Iglesia ni Cristo. Si Ate, radical na Muslim. I have a brother na drug user and a dealer.
Usually, ganito ang ginagawa ko every Sunday. I invite my family for lunch and dinner. Then, I would invite them to the service after.
Nagkaroon ng Father's Day service, and it was a God-given opportunity to invite my dad. Sabi ko sa kanya, Dad, I want to honor you. Treat kita ng dinner and movie, pero before that, mag-service muna tayo. Since then, my dad never missed a service. In-invite namin ni Dad one by one ang mga kapatid ko. And as they heard the word, they all surrendered their lives to our Lord Jesus Christ. 8 of us in our family are now following Christ. If this happened to my family na parang wala ng pag-asa, it can happen to you. Family restoration and salvation indeed happens through the grace of God.
We're going to take the time today. The Bible promises if you believe in Him, you and your household will be saved. We're going to pray for the salvation of our loved ones. We've been praying for the missions. Pastor Lee is in Macau today. We're reaching out to the nations, to every nation of the world. Reaching out to every city in our nation. We're reaching out to all the campuses. That's why we have campus missionaries. We're committed to preaching the gospel to every person here in this nation, in the world. But guess what? We're also committed for the gospel to be heard and to penetrate our children's hearts for them, too, to know the Lord Jesus Christ. What an amazing celebration it would be when we see our children come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it can be done. It can happen as you continue to believe God, even in your own household. I'd like to pray right now. If you're believing God for the salvation of your loved ones, I'd like you to raise your hands right now. Your loved ones, pray for the salvation of your loved ones. I want to pray a prayer, a short prayer, and then I'm gonna give you the chance in 1 minute to mention those names. But right now, let me pray first. Oh, Father God, we want to claim that promise that if we believe in you, we will be saved together with our household. So, Lord, today by faith, just as Noah heard your warning, your word, responded out of reverent fear, built the ark, and obeyed you, Lord. And Father God, by the grace of God, inherited what you have promised him. We too, Lord, can receive what you have planned for us, the salvation of our families, Lord, of our children, of our parents, of our loved ones, of our uncles and aunts, nephews and nieces. Lord God, we are grateful, Lord, that you're here hearing the cries of our hearts. Lord, here we are as we mention their names. Some of them are here and we're excited about it. And yet, Lord, there's still people out there, our loved ones. Here we are, Lord. We asked. I want you to go ahead and ask and pray right now for your loved ones and claim them right now in prayer for them to also hear the gospel. We'll give you 50 seconds. Father, thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God of families. Thank you, Lord, that we will see one of these days our loved ones worshiping with us in this church. Lord, in the name of Jesus, by faith, We claim that promise. Use us, Lord, to be a model, an example of that gospel to them, so that when it's time, Lord, their hearts are ready to receive. In the name of Jesus, we receive that by faith. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand right now. Let's all stand and let's pray for our families. Lord, I thank you for all the 30 years of your faithfulness, Lord, that you have shown to us in this movement. Thank you, Lord, that, Lord, we're looking forward to 30 and beyond more years, Lord, of your kingdom advancing through this movement. We pray, looking forward, Lord, that even our own loved ones, our children, they too, Lord, will receive the baton and receive, Lord, the burden of advancing your kingdom, preaching the gospel to the next generation. Lord, I thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the fear of the Lord that will continue to live in our hearts. Continue to be with us, Lord God. In faith, we're grateful, Lord, for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more messages like these from other Victory Centers, please visit victory.org.ph/resources/podcasts.